I'm sure over the years you've heard some knock-knock jokes. And I'm not a great joke teller, but I'm going to share a couple with you and I want you to respond. Knock-knock. Boo. Why are you crying? Knock-knock. Tank. You're welcome. And so it goes on. These silly jokes that sometimes people share. But in our passage from Luke's Gospel tonight, we were reminded of somebody who knocked on a door who was in a difficult situation. And it came as an illustration that Jesus shared with his disciples who had asked him to teach them how to pray. We'll come back to the prayer that Jesus taught them in a few moments. But I first want to focus on the story. The story to help them understand and help us understand that prayer isn't just a one-off thing, but it takes practice. Like the man who knocked and knocked and knocked and knocked until his friend opened the door, gave him bread, and then he went back to bed. So we've heard the story. In the middle of the night, the need for bread for unexpected visitors. But the man kept knocking, persevering, and eventually was given what he needed. In other words, keep on knocking. Don't give up, because you will find your efforts will be rewarded. So be persistent. Jesus used this story to tell the disciples to keep knocking on God's door by asking for what they needed. Keep asking and you'll receive. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Are we afraid to ask for what we need? Have we lost faith in God's goodness to give us what we need? Persevering, being persistent, is a learned practice. The more we do it, the more we learn to do it, the easier it comes, and then it becomes part of our rhythm and routine in life. And I think that's the point of that story. Don't give up. Keep on praying. Keep on seeking. Keep on searching. Keep on trusting God to provide what you need. You think of sports people just about to see the Commonwealth Games begin, and musicians. Practice, 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 and more practice. That's how they become experts, champions, prestigious in what they do. If we are half-hearted, then do we show God that we don't really believe that God will answer our prayers and give us what is needed? God is not pestered by our asking, as the story sometimes has been a little bit misinterpreted. God is not pestered by our asking, by our searching, and by our knocking. In fact, God loves to hear from us. God is always open to us, no matter what and no matter where we are. In Jewish practice, people prayed long and formal prayers to a God that I guess seemed a little bit distant and far away, longing in faith that God would hear and answer their prayers. But Jesus opened a new, a deeper and a lasting way for us to share our lives with God through prayer, as he had open communication with God. So the disciples came and they asked Jesus, teach us how to pray, so that we can get to know God better and model their lives on Jesus in a closer relationship than they had previously experienced until then. So let's look at that prayer, the very short form of it from Luke 11, as we think about the Lord's Prayer and the pattern for prayer it gives us for our lives to persist and to be persevering with. Firstly, you'll notice in the reading that the Luke passage, the version of the Lord's Prayer is shorter and more simplified than the longer words we often use when we pray the prayer together in Christian worship. It's shorter than the version found in Matthew chapter 6 It might be an interesting exercise to compare the two. Perhaps Luke's version was written first and then Matthew later added more as he wrote his gospel. We're not really sure, but it's an interesting observation. It's certainly true that in the early church, we did adapt the prayer and later add on the ending section or the doxology to the end. In the old version, "For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory for ever and ever. Amen." But we don't see that in this simple form of prayer that Jesus taught. We see in this prayer Jesus opening up for us a model or a pattern for our personal lives, developing our relationship with God, helping us understand our place in that relationship. So let's spend a few moments reflecting on the words phrase by phrase. Jesus said, "When you pray, say Father." Sometimes the version is "Our Father in heaven." We become aware of the intimate relationship that existed between Jesus as the Son of God and God as Father. The shift is away from thinking of God as distant and impersonal to being personal and close. Communication with God is possible. God is gracious. God is good. This idea of God as Father was not familiar or common in the Hebrew Bible. So this is radical, radical teaching that Jesus brings to his disciples. Jesus named God as Father because he was in that unique relationship with God as Son. This rises above the limits of human personality. It does not mean that God is male, but God relates to us intimately in a loving, caring, and nurturing way, as in a parent-child relationship. Now, the idea of God as Father has been a source of difficulty for some people because it's natural to relate our own human experience of human family to our understanding of what God is like towards us. For some, it may reflect a loving and a caring relationship, while for others, it may elicit negative thoughts and feelings of not being loved or of harshness or of distance. So we must be careful not to think of God as being like that, but as one who loves us, as one who has given us life. God is neither male nor female, for God is spirit, and we worship God in spirit and in truth. God does not have human form, but Jesus has revealed the true nature of God to us in human form. Jesus revealed God not as a stern, authoritarian figure, but as a nurturing, compassionate, merciful, strong figure, focused on bringing wholeness, healing, and hope into the world. The next section, "Hallowed be your name." As we enter into this relationship with God, we recognise that God is holy, set apart from all other gods in the universe, that God is majestic and powerful. The name of a person represented their value, their worth, and their reputation. So this is a statement that we seek to honour God, to show our respect to God, to know that we are creatures and God is our creator, because God is supreme above everything. It's also a petition where we ask that God's name will be glorified and honoured by people in the world. When we name God as holy, we acknowledge that we are creatures under God's loving care. "Your kingdom come." The focus here continues to be on God and God's kingdom coming into the world. It has come. It has begun in the person of Jesus Christ. So it is a call for God's rule of love and peace to impact all of life. Asking for God's kingdom to come motivates us to serve God in the work of God's mission in the world. That the time will come when people will find in a relationship with Jesus life at its best. It looks to the culmination of that kingdom when the influence of God and God's ways can be seen in a changed and a transformed world, person by person. More personally, if we ask for God's kingdom to come within our lives, we're seeking for God to work within us, that we will be vessels from which God's blessing will flow to others. Then we come to the section on asking or petition. Give us each day the food that we need. When we pray this, we're acknowledging that God knows our needs and that God will satisfy our needs. God is committed to us, and we can be committed to God and to trust God for all that we need. Not always what we want, but all that we need. And I think we can so easily forget that in our modern world, when we can just go to the shops and buy whatever we want, that we might lose some sense of being dependent on God for the things, the basic things of life. So the emphasis here is that each day we receive what we need to sustain us and to enable us to be faithful servants and children of God. We trust God for what we need. We don't seek to strive for that on our own and in our own strength, but we work with God as faithful servants. If we believe we are dependent on God, then we'll want to receive what God has to offer us, and we will desire to dedicate all that we are and all that we have to that mission. Then we come to confession. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who are indebted to us. We come before God very aware of our own shortcomings and failings. We acknowledge that only God can forgive us, that this forgiveness is given freely, unconditionally, when we honestly seek to turn away from the things that lead us astray, that refocus our lives in a different direction, or that get us off centre and not centred on the ways of Christ. We've been forgiven unconditionally because Jesus died and rose for us. We have the assurance of that gift of life. And when we accept God's forgiveness of us, it should lead us to seek reconciliation with others as well. Sometimes we make our forgiveness of others conditional. Yet this prayer reminds us that we need to follow on a forgiving spirit towards others. As we have received God's forgiveness, so too we embody that to those around us, consistent with the love of God for us. If we refuse to forgive, then the impact of that is a negative one. It blocks our ability to receive the forgiveness of God in our own lives or to experience it in its most fullest measure. And this can lead to many negative things like bitterness, like disunity, hatred, disharmony, and even physical health problems. So we also need to learn to forgive ourselves for our failings and our shortcomings, for carrying guilt is not healthy either. Because God does not hold things against us, we shouldn't hold those things against ourselves. So God will take it away. There's also false guilt or shame is a similar thing. That we don't hold something against ourselves that is actually not our fault, but comes from the actions of others against us. God too takes that away and frees us to be loving and free to serve. Do not bring us to the time of trial. We need God's help in coping with living in this world. God does not tempt us or test us, but we live in a world where we all experience trials and tests of different sorts at different times, and these can impact everyone. Think for a moment about Jesus. On the night that he shared that supper with his disciples before his betrayal, he faced that in the garden as he prayed to God the Father. Father, if you will, take this cup of suffering away from me. Not my will, however, but your will be done. That's from Luke 22:42. We are claiming God's sustaining power, that God will not abandon us during times of struggle, times of pain, times of challenge, but that God will bring us through these times, that God will hold us, and often does in those times, as the well-known Footprints poem reminds us, that it was then that we were carried by God. Paul's words are also an encouragement to us in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, where these words are recorded. No testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful and will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, will also provide the way out so that you may be able to endure it. God will provide the way when we abide in him, when we hold fast to that promise, and we remember the example of Christ who has been there before us and is with us now in the presence of the Holy Spirit guiding and leading us forward. So keep on knocking. Keep on persevering in your prayers. Pray and pray and pray again. Trust in God's goodness and grace. Don't be half-hearted, but persevere. Use Jesus' pattern for prayer in your daily lives. As when we gather together in worship, we sometimes use that pattern of praise and confession, of asking for things for others and for ourselves in intercession. Confession comes before God, is coming before God in humility and dependence, trusting God to provide for us. So pray with persistence. Pray with the assurance that God hears and God answers our prayers. The answers may not always be what we ask for or even what we hope for, but we pray to a God who is good, a God who is love, a God in whom we can entrust our lives and those that we love. Prayer is the basis of our life, the life of faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It's seeking that God will do what is best for us, that we will allow God to mould us and guide us and direct us and care for us. So keep trusting and keep praying, for God's love is with us now and always. Amen.